Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dodge Ram Hotline. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN used to cover the Browns, been covering the Steelers for a while now. Jeremy, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Jeremy, a lot's been made by us and here in Cleveland about the comments by Hugh Jackson after the game, where he said, you know, he'd have to get more involved in the offense, and he backed off those statements and blamed the media for some of it after that. But what's been the reaction in Pittsburgh to those comments, especially because Todd, you know, they know Todd Haley so well?
Yeah, well, Hugh Jackson got on the conference call here with Pittsburgh media and said, "What story? You know, nothing has changed. There's nothing to it." So who knows at this point? I'm sure maybe he said similar things in Cleveland. But, you know, I spoke to actually a few offensive players just now in the locker room, including left tackle Al Villanueva. You know, they said their shared experience with Todd Haley was great. That, you know, he's a fantastic coach. He related to him on a human level. So, you know, they don't necessarily know if he's misunderstood or not, but, you know, they feel like this is a guy that can beat us with his offense because he's a good coach. And so they sort of left it at that. There wasn't much of a reaction beyond that, but, you know, they certainly respect him.
You know, Todd Haley is a guy that, you know, is very proud, and, you know, hearing some of the people who know Todd very well. I mean, Todd said all the right things today in his press conference. You know, he said there's no division, and, you know, I support Hugh and all this stuff, whatever. But, like, what he said on Sunday, people that are close to Todd feel like he wouldn't have liked that, even though he's saying the right things today. Did you get that sense too?
Well, I mean, he's a competitive guy, and
yeah.
If somebody's going to call your plays, that would be difficult. But it sounds like that's not the case. I do think he understands the emotion of it,
sure.
And maybe where Hugh was coming from. I do think him saying that is genuine. I don't think that's just him saying the right things. You know, and when Ben Roethlisberger said on the radio the other day that Coach Todd wouldn't take that well, I don't necessarily think. I think he was trying to actually defend Todd, even though they've had what's been considered sort of a rocky up and down relationship when he was in Pittsburgh, but. Yeah, he said, look, this is a good coach, and, you know, he knows what he's doing. So he doesn't need somebody to do that job for him, I think was the point he was trying to convey. And, I mean, he is definitely a fiery competitor. So, you know, would he want to give up his offense? Probably not. But, it sounds like that's not really the case right now.
Right. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is with us. He covers the Steelers. Jeremy, obviously the Steelers played an awful game in Cleveland on the opening game of the season. Turned the ball over six times. They were terrible, and yet they somehow managed to tie, although rightly so, they kind of took that game as a loss. It was the reaction, at least we heard, from this end. You think, you know, because of the way they've dominated the Browns and they're coming off a bye, is there extra motivation because they didn't win that first game, or is it just the same as it's always been?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. The sense I got coming out of that game is that it's twofold, right? They respect the Browns maybe more so than they did in the past. They feel like they're better, that they stacked up all these number one draft picks, and those guys can really play. But I know, especially on offense, and the way James Conner was running the ball, they felt like they were bullying them up front and still tied the game, and they were frustrated by that, you know? They felt like they should have been up a couple touchdowns, and those six turnovers you mentioned changed the whole game. And so I think they want to kind of shake that rust off from week one officially and really show what they can do against Cleveland. And you know, I don't think – they don't look at it like a little brother, big brother situation. At least that's my sense here. I think they do respect Cleveland a lot.
What's the situation with Le'Veon Bell? No one really knows.
What isn't the situation with Le'Veon Bell? It's a weekly thing. You know, his plan was to show up around this time, you know, around the bye week or week eight, and it just something has shifted, you know, as far as I know. And so there could be a week 11 situation where he shows up at basically the deadline that he would need to show up in order to play at all this year, which is November 13th, that Tuesday, week 11. You know, he said on the record he wants to play this year, that sitting out the whole year is not beneficial to him. So sometime in the next 3 weeks, something has to give. But there have been a lot of twists and turns with this, and something has changed. So we'll see how that shakes out. But he obviously won't be in the lineup this week.
Jeremy, what's your best guess as to when he does return? What, like, is he going back to being Le'Veon Bell full role, or is it going to be a timeshare? Best guess on that.
So, I mean, look, Mike Tomlin is a huge Le'Veon Bell fan, and he's seen that guy take over, you know, really the league for stretches of a time. In 2016, there was no player in the NFL that was better than him. And so it's hard to just say that we're going to ride James Conner 25 times a game. Bell's going to be a supporting player, but Conner has played very well, and they still don't know what shape Bell's in. I think that's partly why he's taking his time, is he wants to come in and be ready to go. And so if I see a situation where they ease him in, Conner starts the first game where Bell's back, they give him more and more as they go, but I think Conner's going to have a defined role regardless. He's earned that.
Why do you think the numbers are so staggering, the difference between Big Ben at home versus Big Ben on the road? In fact, they call him Road Big Ben because he tends to turn the football over and be a little bit more careless and just doesn't look like himself.
Yeah, it's funny. In week three, you know, he was throwing touchdowns and going for yards on the road against Tampa, and it was almost sort of a mild surprise, right? Because typically the stat line's the same on the road. It's, you know, one, maybe two touchdowns, one interception, and 200-something yards, or at least that's in the MO. And, you know, the way he's explained it in the past, you know, his cadence with his no-huddle offense is different because of the crowd noise. I don't know if that makes a 100-yard-a-game difference or not, but you know, things have evened out a little bit this year. He's played better on the road. That Cincinnati game orchestrated a beautiful drive at the end of the game to seal a huge matchup. So, you know,
come on, Marvin Lewis blew that game, Jeremy. The bad clock management on the Bengals touchdown, you know that.
Well, there's that. There's certainly that. But, you know, he's played better. You know, so I don't know, you know, for him, I just think he's acknowledged, too, that the game is changing a little bit. He's passing more. There are more yards available out there because of the defensive changes. He's taken advantage of that as well. But, you know, to his credit, he's played better.
You know, is there some kind of a changing of the guard in terms of the number one wide receiver? As great as Brown is, you know, Smith-Schuster's playing great. He's 8 years younger. Are we seeing that, or are we heading toward that soon?
Well, just in case, I asked a few, you know, personnel exec scout types that I trust, you know, is this a 1 and 1A situation right now? And they said no. They said Juju's a, you know, a very good player, but he's sort of a clear number two. Brown's still the guy. And really on, you know, it's debatable whether he's the best in the league, but certainly over the last 3 years he has been. And many would still put him there. And, you know, he still draws so much attention, especially with Martavis Bryant being gone, Le'Veon Bell being gone. It was an adjustment because he was getting those hard double teams. And Ben Roethlisberger, I think partly why he's having more success on the road is that he's not forcing the ball to Brown all the time. He's got almost as many targets to Juju Smith-Schuster as he does Antonio Brown. Now, Juju has shown he can beat a number two cornerback, a slot cornerback, pretty easily. He gets open a lot. So the next step for him is, you know, if you start to get double teams, are you going to be running the routes the same intensity, playing as hard? That's what they want to see as the next step for him. But, you know, when I watch Brown in practice and in games, you know, he looks just as fast as he ever has. I don't really see any sort of physical difference with his play. It's just a matter of the opportunity. And really the chemistry with Roethlisberger hasn't been there as much on those sideline plays where they were, you know, they used to be able to just run a deep out route in their sleep. And Roethlisberger, I've literally seen him throw that ball without even looking, trying to look off the safety and just throwing it no look to the sideline. They haven't had that lately, and I'm not really sure why. You know, but other than that, you know, Brown looks the same.
Jeremy, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, all right, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Good to chat with him. Pete Futek of College Football News will join us at 4:20.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.